नॉट एताद दिस पूर्व ऋषयः द सेजेस बिफोर यू सच एज भृगु चक्रुः एग्जीक्यूटेड न नॉर करिष्यन्ति विल एग्जीक्यूट च ऑल्सो आपरे अदर्स निरम्बु विदाउट ड्रिंकिंग वाटर धारयेत कैन सस्टेन प्राणान द लाइफ एयर कहा हू वै इंडीड दिव्य समाह सेलेस्टियल इयर्स शतम 100 Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities, nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. Who within these three worlds can sustain his life without even drinking water? For 100 celestial years. Purport. It appears that even if a yogi does not drink a drop of water, he can live for many, many years by the yogic process, though his outer body may be eaten by ants and moths. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातम् सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Translation once again. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu born previously could not perform such severe austerities, nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. Who within these three worlds can sustain his life even without drinking water for 100 celestial years? So Srila Prabhupada just mentions a very brief purport, where Srila Prabhupada mentions that the yogi also can survive his life even going without a drop of water. And here it is mentioned that Nirambur dharayat pranam. That means he held his prana or the life air sustained on his life air for so many 100 celestial years. It was not just 100 earthly years like the the span or the duration of such a tapasya was indeed very, very a long duration. And this shows that Hiranyakashipu had a tremendous amount of patience. surpassing even sometimes even in the realm of Krishna consciousness, we become so impatient for results, or impatient for realizations in Krishna consciousness. And here is Hiranyakashipu, very, very a detached way of performing his austerity and penance, but for a very great attachment. So it is not just the externals that count, it is also the question of intention. So here Hiranyakashipu has been very, very obsessive to become even greater than Lord Brahma. And here, by the dint of his austerity, though he has not pleased Brahma to descend, he has forced Brahma to descend. Right. So typically when these worshippers of demigods, when they pray for material benedictions, their attitude is that of arrogance. Their attitude is that of being a supreme controller. While we find that in the austerities that devotees perform, typically as we find that Dhruva Maharaj, guided by Narad Muni, perform austerities, and also Karda Muni, when he was performing his austerities to beg a benediction from the Lord, it was out of sincere desire to serve the Lord, but then to also fulfill one's desire. So typically this is the nature of the conditioned soul, that he expects something to come out of whatever happens or whatever he does. He is so attached to attaining the result. Right? Therefore, we find in the educational system here that if there were no results displayed for the exams, there would be no one going for the exams. If there were no results displayed, or there were no results out of working or after doing a lot of laborious job, even that you were quite well off, but you would expect some result to come out of it. And the amount of entanglement or the amount of conditioning depends upon how much we are attached to the result. So here we find that Hiranyakashipu has literally forced Lord Brahma to appear, and he is going to ask a benediction to become immortal. So just that's why it is said the demigod worshippers are called less intelligent, because they do not know what to ask from whom. First of all, they don't know what to ask, and secondly, they really are ignorant whom to ask for that thing. So they are begging, this Hiranyakashipu is begging for immortality from Brahma, who is himself a mortal being. And it was obviously not possible for Brahma to fulfill his desire, even though if he had literally pleased Brahma or even forced Brahma to give this benediction. But then Hiranyakashipu is not going to let his tapasya go in vain. He wants something close to immortality. So he wants to make sure that he is somewhere close to immortal. So he asks for all kind of invincible ways that he would not be able to be destroyed or be killed. So this is a concern, there is a fear. Anyone who performs material, or anyone performs austerity for a material cause, is always fearful of losing that result or that consequence of that tapasya. And that we find here in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he is extremely fearful that his tapasya may not go in vain, and he may want to reign over and become supreme controller. Consequently, we find amongst the aspiring devotees, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, we find this wonderful example of how one performs austerity in the realm of Krishna consciousness, even with a material desire. It is not that Dhruva Maharaj was a devotee when he went to perform austerities, but rather he had some desire. He had desire for revenge, And of course, he wanted a similar benediction. The benediction that Hiranyakashipu had asked from Lord Brahma is what actually Viru Maharaj wanted to ask from the Supreme Lord. He wanted to ask that he want to attain a post or attain a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. So this was very identical. So what was the difference in the austerities and the intentions of Dhruva Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu? The intention of Dhruva Maharaj was to, of course, to satisfy a desire for revenge. That was his main desire, which prompted him to attain this kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. But it was just a very insignificant, insignificantly harmless desire compared to that of Hiranyakashipu, who wanted to use that position, or he wanted to use the result of that austerities for a destructive purpose, to become the supreme controller. Dhruva Maharaj was just wanting his insignificant desire just fulfilled. And the difference in case of Hiranyakashipu was that he did not go to any authority as to how he should perform these austerities. He was not guided. Dhruva Maharaj was guided right from the beginning. He was in a humble state of mind, open to all kind of suggestions, open to instructions. And then when Narada Muni was, of course, this was the arrangement of the Lord, that Narada Muni was sent at that particular place when Dhruva Maharaj went or left the palace to leave for the forest. This is typical of the wonderful reciprocation of Krishna with his devotees, or even with any sincere soul who wants to search for the Supreme Lord, even to ask for some material benedictions. So Krishna has sent Narada Muni at the right time to meet Dhruva Maharaj and to guide him. So Narada Muni tests his disciple, his so-to-become disciple Dhruva Maharaj, by dissuading him from pursuing his childish desire. And accordingly, Narada Muni was really childish. It was not so significant, and he had not to leave the palace for that. And it was just a happening in the royal affairs. So here, Dhruva Maharaj is determined. Though he is a 5-year-old child, he has the determination of a great yogi, of a great tapasvi. And Narada Muni, seeing his inclination, seeing his determination, was convinced of Dhruva Maharaj's success. As Srila Prabhupada said to his devotees, Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in our movement, in your movement, someone asked. And Prabhupada said, count how many devotees we have. So that many pure devotees. All the other people were like shocked, we never thought that we would be pure devotees. And though we wanted to become one of them, and Srila Prabhupada said, you are pure devotees, but yet to realize the stage of that perfection. Because these devotees were on the path of Krishna consciousness, which is a pure, which is a sure, and which is a guaranteed path for self-realization, it was sure that they would attain their perfection in this very lifetime, provided they stuck to the regulations and the instructions given by the spiritual master. So here we find that Dhruva Maharaj was determined not only to satisfy his desire, but he was also determined to follow the instructions. Sometimes we are determined to receive the benedictions, but not willing to pay the price for it. And Dhruva Maharaj was willing to pay the price for it, and he went and very, very meticulously executed each of the instructions of Narada Muni. He made this wonderful deity of the Lord, Supreme Lord, with the clay available in the forest. Without any fear, without any hesitation, he worshipped the Supreme Lord. And it was not that He was in the forest looking for some food all the time. But he rarely used to eat. Once in 3 days, he used to eat some fruits. And not that there were very, very opulent and luxurious fruits available. He was eating simply kapita fruits, which would be eaten by the monkeys generally. And this was his austerity, that he was performing his austerity under the guidance of Narad Muni's instructions. So then his second month, he used to drink a little water once in 6 days. And then in the third month, he even gave up that and just sustained on air. And this way he performed his austerities for 6 months. And the last month, in the fifth month, he used to stand on his one foot, and would be completely absorbed in trance and meditation upon the Supreme Lord. So here we find Srila Prabhupada writing the purports of this fourth canto, that the similar austerity as performed by Dhruva Maharaj is not possible in this age of Kali Yuga. But the principle of this austerity has to be very clearly understood, because the principle always remains. Principle always stands to be true in all circumstances. And this principle was that according to the capacity of the individual or the capacity of the capacity and the environment of a particular situation, one is assigned a particular kind of set of instructions or set of pattern to follow. And that was, in case of Dhruva Maharaj, Satyuga, austerities, performing, going to the forest. And in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the process is made easy by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the process is so simple that one has to simply follow these four regulative principles, and one has to chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with sincerity. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada said, one must accept the situations or the one must accept food or other things just to maintain one's body and soul. And that was all, that was enough. And Prabhupada mentions that, but if we do not even follow these liberal instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, to perform the simple processes of devotional service, chanting, dancing and feasting, then it will be rather suicidal. There is no hope for the living entity. And therefore, when we accept the process of Krishna consciousness, we must understand in the light that this process is made easy for us. There is a lot of concessions. Like when we go out for shopping, we find that people, we go and we bargain. Okay, how much for this? Okay. Then we think, okay, we'll make it quite less, and we'll ask for some concession, some discount. And then we bargain and bargain, and still we find the price is higher. But we find, in the case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has opened a marketplace, he has opened the marketplace of holy name, where practically it is free. It has no charges, it has no extra demands. It is already free. There is no concession on any free, only free items, right? You don't ask for concession that, okay, you give one free, can you give one more free on this? You don't get free on something free. You get free on something which you pay. But then when we are not actually paying anything, we are not giving anything in return for what we are receiving, then what else can we expect? What else, what other concessions or discount we can expect from this process that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given? Therefore, this process is keval ananda kanda, and we must not bring misery into this process by our own complex mental speculation. Usually the process of Krishna consciousness is very easy, but sometimes due to our complex mind, we want to make it a little more difficult. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said to many of the people, so what is the problem? If sometimes there was some problem, there was in Australia, there was a lot of people were not having food, and Prabhupada said, okay, come to our place, come to a temple, live in a temple, we'll feed you, you just follow the process. So what is the problem? And then sometimes this chief police officer would come of Chicago city and would say, there is a problem of crime. Prabhupada said, give us a big hall. We'll perform Harinam Sankirtan. We'll distribute prasadam. And then your problem will be solved. Such a simple solution, as Jananivas Prabhu mentioned, that Krishna consciousness is so simple that you will miss it. So simple process. We find that we must try to complicate it to make it feel a little, challenging. The challenge is to simply follow the simple instructions. And sometimes we find that, okay, we can follow some instructions where it requires a little more austerity and tapasya. But then, the only tapasya in this age of Kali Yuga, Prabhupada mentions, of course he mentions that Dhruva Maharaj, when the Lord gave him the darshan, he was so purified from all of his contamination, he begged what to offer prayers, but could not offer the suitable words. Therefore the Lord touched that transcendental conchal on the head of Dhruva Maharaj, and the words started pouring out in wonderful poetry, and those words were never known by Dhruva Maharaj, but those words exactly resembled the essence of the teachings of the Vedas. Just imagine. It was not even known to Dhruva Maharaj what he was going to offer in prayers. But the Lord assisted Dhruva Maharaj in his realization. Therefore, this revelation of Krishna consciousness or revelation of pure love simply comes by the grace of the Lord and his pure devotees. Therefore, it is imperative. And Dhruva Maharaj knew at that time that I have not attained this state by my own endeavor, by my own austerities. It is only because of the order of Narad Muni I am able to receive the grace of the Lord. And therefore, when he is praying to the Supreme Lord to ask for a benediction, he is completely absolved himself of the desire for revenge. At the same time, he is simply asking for the association of sincere devotees where there is constant Harikatha and the incessant flow of the waves of service of the Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj is not begging for any other thing except than the association of devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport that therefore we have established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that Krishna Consciousness becomes relishable and very easy in the association of devotees. Not only the process becomes very easy, in fact it's an easy process which becomes more easier in the association of devotees, rather it becomes relishable, it becomes perfect. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, it would be insane for anyone to think that he can practice Krishna consciousness being aloof from the association of devotees. Sometimes this thought very, very much comes in the mind that rather it would be nice to stay alone and practice nice Krishna consciousness, just there is no disturbance or there is no many people to interact with, only the relationship with the Supreme Lord. And this thoughts of performing bhajan in seclusion comes. But as neophytes would rather experience typically, immediately after a few days of seclusion or even a few moments of seclusion, we want to interact. It's the nature of the soul to develop relationships, right? Because this whole Krishna consciousness is the process of cultivating relationships in the association of devotees. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has given the various scriptures delineating about the process of Krishna consciousness, which emphasizes performing bhajan in the association of devotees. We find in the case of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they would daily meet. It was not that they went in Vrindavan and they were in some groves and kunjas and they were performing their bhajan and they never came out from that seclusion. But rather they would come every day in the Radha Damodar temple and they would all sit and discuss, and in fact they would the Gopal Bhatt Goswami would read the scriptures and Jeev Goswami would comment, and all these Goswamis would be commenting upon the various scriptures, And this is how they relished. In fact, they would be eager to have more and more association of all the devotees. So here, Dhruva Maharaj is going to leave the seclusion of the forest to come in the association of devotees. That is his prayer. And therefore we find in the process of in this movement, which Srila Prabhupada has so nicely structured, that everything is centered around performing our Krishna consciousness as being a part in the association of devotees. It's like a nice shell, or it's a nice shield to protect us from Maya. And we find that the devotees, rather than asking the Lord for some material benedictions, they simply pray to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So one of the very nice pastimes of one of the great alvars, Bhakti Sar, shows how a devotee is devoid of any other desires than to serve the Supreme Lord. In Shikshashtakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadish gamaye, mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhaktir ahaituki tvai. Now the devotee is simply interested in giving service to Krishna, and that is possible by executing the orders of the spiritual master. Therefore the devotee's prayer is simply that how he can perfectly, his prayer to the Supreme Lord is that, please let me fulfill the order of my spiritual master and execute Krishna consciousness very nicely to his satisfaction. Therefore, we find in the lives of all these great devotees, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they had great wealth, but they had given up everything simply to engage into the service of the Supreme Lord. So this Bhakti Sar, one of the great alvars, is to stay in the Sri Rangam temple. The Sri Rangam temple is surrounded by the seven walls, and actually these are the, and in between all these walls are streets, and so a huge city in itself. So Bhakti Sar would sit in one of those streets, and he was absorbed in his bhajan, and once upon a time he was sewing an old cloth. He used to wear very old cloth, and never wears new cloth. Even if those old cloth, he would sew and until it got completely torn, he would replace it with a new old cloth. Right? A new old cloth, and then he would sew it. And he would not sew it with a needle and thread, rather would having some stick, a wooden stick, and then he would be ending a very, very an austere way of threading or sewing the cloth. So, very, very advanced devotee, one of the very intimate associates of the Supreme Lord, these alvars compose very beautiful poems and praises in the praises of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Shiva and Parvati were were traveling in the airways and the sky, and they found, and in fact, whenever their shadow would fall on any person, a great surge of material desire would arise in that person's heart, and he would want to ask some material benedictions. He would be eager, he would be desperate to fulfill the arousal of all these material desires. So when this shadow of Lord Shiva and Parvati was engulfing Bhakti Sar, he realized that this is causing me a upsurge in material desires, but rather he was fixed in his unalloyed devotional service, so he just neglected those temptations. So it is the process of Krishna consciousness is a constant resistance to the temptations that Maya brings. And that struggle is the expression of one's sincerity to continue and to express to Krishna about one's sincere desire to go home back to Godhead. Therefore, these temptations will always be there. These temptations will be brought about by Maya just to test our sincerity. So Bhakti Sar was very steady. He continued seeing his old cloth, and Parvati realized that there is nothing which has happened to this Bhakti Sar. So what is this? Let us go and let us personally arouse his desires by going before him and asking and giving him some benedictions. So then Lord Shiva went to this Bhaktisar, came and begged. And actually, sorry, and he told to Bhaktisar, so what do you want from me? Ask any benedictions. And he was not interested. And Parvati said, give him Swarga. Tell him, you will get Swarga Loka. So Lord Shiva said, give him Swarga. Okay, you take Swarga. And this person said, Bhaktisar said, no, I am not interested, I don't want Swarga. So then Parvati said, give him the post of Brahma. Tell him that he become the Brahma, the supreme controller, the originator of this universe. And then Bhaktisar said, I am not interested. And then Parvati was becoming a little disturbed. We have come all the way to give him some benedictions and he is not receiving any of them. He is rejecting all of our benedictions. People are very eager to receive all these benedictions and he is rejecting one by one. And then Parvati said, okay, now just tempt him by giving him a form like yours, with powers like yours. And Lord Shiva, he offered this position equivalent to Lord Shiva. And then Bhaktisar said, no, I am not interested. He said, then you have to ask something from us. And then Bhaktisar said, okay, give me liberation, give me moksha. And Lord Shiva said, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur. That means this moksha I cannot give. Moksha is only to be awarded by Lord Vishnu and no one else. Therefore, please do not embarrass us by asking something which we cannot give. He said, then if you don't have liberation, then what can I ask from you? No, no, you have to ask some benedictions. Okay. He said, Bhaktisar said, just can you help me threading this thread into this very difficult needle like stick? Just help me with this. And Parvati was infuriated. This is what he thinks of, is he's insulting us by asking this benediction. And therefore, she was instigating Lord Shiva to punish this this Bhaktisar. And Lord Shiva, also becoming angry, opened his third eye and a flame of fire, a very devastating fire, came upon Bhaktisar. And this Alvar, Bhaktisar, immediately created by his own power, the power of the Shakti of Bhakti, he created a huge cloud. And this cloud was pouring rain, and it was so powerful that it flooded the entire gates, the entire city. And in fact, this flame went and attacked Lord Shiva himself. Lord Shiva immediately rushed to Lord Ranganath and realized his folly. And he prayed that, please, I have committed an offense to your devotee. Please forgive me. And Lord Ranganath, he advises Lord Shiva to go and beg forgiveness from Bhaktisar, who was now sitting like a cork on the top of the whole flooded waters, and he was peacefully sitting in his old cloth. He was not even touched, even not affected, not even disturbed. But Lord Shiva was angered, Lord Shiva was disturbed, and then Lord Shiva gave him the name. You are the essence of devotion. You are the essence of bhakti. And therefore your name will be Bhaktisar. And essence of bhakti is that one is not interested in any other desires except the desire to serve the Supreme Lord. And does not want any position, does not want any recognition, does not want any wealth, does not want any followers, and is simply satisfied by his own service in the wonderful loving transcendental service of the Lord. So here, Bhaktisar was again peacefully executing his devotional service. So we find that devotees are not only very much detached, but they are also very powerful by the dint of devotional service. And therefore, we find they perform great magic, they perform great miracles, great wonders. And then when Srila Prabhupada was once approached by a magician, he was showing various tricks where everything was disappearing. And then Srila Prabhupada laughed during the whole magic show, and then Srila Prabhupada asked this magician, "So can you make birth, old age, disease and death disappear?" And then this magician said, "Absolutely not. This is not the magic that I perform. This is impossible." And Srila Prabhupada said, "This is what I can perform. And these are my disciples. They who have perfected their life by taking this process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. And that I can do." And this is what the wonder of the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, who are simply interested in serving the Lord, and by the power of their unalloyed devotional service, Krishna empowers them. Krishna empowers them beyond what they can even imagine. And therefore, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. To able to transform the hearts of contaminated jivas, like Srila Prabhupada going to the West and making them into devotees, is not something that we have heard in the history, right? Except when, like, there were great incarnations, Shaktavish avatars, like Jesus Christ, or the proponents of the Islam religion, the Prophet and the Muhammad, and all these great souls, practically they showed by their powers, because they were representatives of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, one may not underestimate the potency of pure devotional service as just being some impotent, or something which is not practical, which is not powerful, which is not realizable. It is very practical, it is realized, and it is very joyfully performed. And therefore, we find in this wonderful Leela of Dhruva Maharaj that he was given the benediction that he would rule for 36,000 years and would attain the planet of Dhruva Loka and go back to Godhead. And this was the assurance of the Lord that now that you have received his benediction, you will be offering your sacrifices and perform huge sacrifices and more opportunity for devotional service as in this lifetime, and you will be glorified in this lifetime and in the next. And therefore, a devotee, whenever he is offered anything by the Supreme Lord, it is simply for his purification and later to become for his glorification. Therefore, devotees sometimes, the Lord, Supreme Lord, may sometimes not benedict a devotee, but rather put him in great distress, simply to glorify and to purify that devotee. We find Srila Prabhupada's life that he waited and he decided to travel at the age of 69 to go to the West, unheard of and not very promising, or not very, if you take the probability of such an endeavor being undertaken at this very advanced age, would show low probability for results. But then Srila Prabhupada was just fixed up in the order of his spiritual master, and it was Krishna's plan that Srila Prabhupada would encounter all these difficulties, and this would later on become the opportunity, or these all tribulations and trials would become a way of glorification, and not only that, but to teach all of us for lifetimes to come about the quality of the devotional service that has to be performed. Therefore, the life of great souls is nothing but an indication of how one should execute the process of Krishna consciousness by imbibing this wonderful mood and the qualities that these great souls have undertaken in their execution of Krishna consciousness. And thus the Lord is always benedicting. And the greatest benediction is the association of his devotees, the association of pure devotees. If that is the benediction, If that is what we are asking for, it is simply that we have received it. Only that we have to value it, we have to treasure it, and we don't have to lose it. And that's all Srila Prabhupada said, that I have given you everything, now simply carry out from here and do not lose what has already been given. Therefore, there is nothing to add, there is nothing to change, there is nothing to transform, there is nothing to reform. Everything is in the process of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada has given us. And only when we deviate from this process, only when we deviate from these principles, that we find that there are discrepancies. So it is not a responsibility or it is not the consequences of Kali Yuga. It is simply our inability to accept the simple process. Keval Ananda Kanda. So the more we embrace the process of Krishna consciousness, the more it is easier, the more it is relishable, and more it is benedicting the whole world. So this is a wonderful realization, that simply to become immortal is to live in the association of devotees. Tandiran Charan Sevi Bhakta Senevas. Nagaratam Das Thakur says, simply let me receive the opportunity to serve and live in the association of devotees. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you very much for the nice lecture. As far as the Astri is concerned, Hiranyakashyapu did, in comparison to Dhruva Maharaj, Hiranyakashyapu did harder austerities, longer austerities, and in the beginning, the aim of both was not Krishna consciousness at all. It is by chance that Dhruva Maharaj met Narad Muni, Hiranyakashyapu did not meet anybody. The goal were different. The approach was different. The approach was Vishnu in Dhruva Maharaj. The Brahma was in Hiranyakashyapu. Brahma was also not a very insignificant person. Now, the end result was quite different. Dhruva Maharaj got enlightened only after getting the getting darshan and getting the mercy. Prabhu, Hiranyakashyapu did not do so only because by chance, and what chance we don't know, that he did not get a proper direction, proper devotion, proper instructions. Instructions of the sadhana, he did. And he did harder, he did longer. So what made all the difference in the outcome? That's what I wanted to know.
You are asking the question that Hiranyakashyapu received his benedictions and Dhruva Maharaj was enlightened. What is the difference? The difference was that Hiranyakashyapu did not want to receive some good instruction. Right? Even find that even his son would give some good instruction. He also received the association of pure devotee. But he did not receive it, he did not want it. In fact, he went against that good instruction. Dhruva Maharaj was humble, submissive, willing to accept instruction of Narad Muni, and was performing his austerities simply on the order of Narad Muni. So the only thing was that Dhruva Maharaj was blessed with the instruction of a bona fide pure devotee, while Hiranyakashyapu didn't have that chance or did not want to have that chance. Even when he was given the chance later on to rectify his position, when Balaram Maharaj was giving him so many good instructions, right? But he did not take that instructions. So simply we have to be open to receive instructions rather than rejecting them. And that made the difference. Hiranyakashipu had a chance to reform. Even that he had, that's why bhakti is causeless. Bhakti does not have any cause other than bhakti. And in Vishwanath Chakra Thakur mentions in Madhurya Kadambini that bhakti is the cause of bhakti in a way that Krishna's mercy is the cause, and there is no cause to Krishna's mercy because Krishna's mercy is coming through his devotees. And therefore, as Krishna's devotees distribute their mercy, Krishna also imitates their devotees. And Krishna imitates practically a Madhyam Adhikari who makes friends with the devotees, who preaches the innocent, who avoids the faithless, and who worships the Supreme Lord. So this Madhyam Adhikari distributes his mercy, and Lord Krishna also imitates his devotee. And therefore, the mercy is received through a devotee of the Lord, and that mercy that is coming from a devotee is coming from the heart of the devotee. So the bhakti in the heart of the devotee is manifested as mercy, and that is the cause of bhakti, and this is causeless. Bhakti is the cause of bhakti. So therefore, it is possible only through the association of pure devotees. Therefore, even Narad Muni mentions in his Narad Bhakti Sutra that one must strive alone for the association of devotees. That is what Narad Muni's re-emphasis in his own sutras. That only strive for this, and then everything else is taken care of. Is that okay? Yeah. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.